Hallelujah. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. If you can be happy, you can be joyful, you can be noisy, you can make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness today, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness through this week, Lord. You've been with us just like you promised. Lord, you're taking care of us because we belong to you. Because we're in the palm of your hand, Father. And no man is able to snatch us out of your hand, Lord. So we look unto you, Lord God. We know where our help comes from. Yep, from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Most High God. And Lord, we say reign in us, reign in your people. Reign in America again, Lord. Hallelujah. Strike down your enemies, Lord. Hallelujah. Arise, Lord. Arise in us. Hallelujah. Topple every idol, Lord, of our hearts. We'll have eyes for only you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, God gave us, he gave us another day, didn't he? And that means we're one day closer to the day when we see Jesus. Amen. Every knee is going to bow to him. Amen. Even those who refuse to bow now will bow then. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We bow now. Hallelujah. How many know there's hope? This hope for the spiritually barren too. Ever find yourself in a place of barrenness spiritually? You just feel like a desert. You're in a desert place. Yeah? All right. If anybody doesn't raise their hand to that one, then I'm going to ask you what the difference was here. But there are times when we find ourselves in those dry places. But you know what? The dry places are necessary too. Amen. You know what happens if you get too much water, right? And no sunshine? What happens to the crops too? Yeah, they rot. Amen. So God is a master gardener. He knows the right recipe for each one of us. Amen. He knows what we need. And he's working on our lives through it all. We're starting in the book of Job this morning. Wayne is teaching. And wow. Can you imagine being in his shoes? If you think you have problems, just take a look at Job, right? But God turned it around for good in the end, didn't he? I want to encourage you, if you can make it, to come out to the Sunday school. We're going verse by verse, you know, chapter by chapter. It's a good way to really get into the Word, learn the Word, know the Word. All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. How many are doing better than when you first came in? Okay. How many know that it's God's plan for his people to gather? I know some people don't think it's all that important, but God says it's important that we gather. That means I have to tell this old body, amen, what to do. And it's not supposed to tell me what to do. If I'm sick, that's different, amen. If I'm incapable, that's different. But if I'm able, I should be gathering with God's people. Besides, I have to preach this morning. You're right. Good correction there. I get to. Amen. And we get to be here, don't we? In God's presence with his people. And there's a special blessing when we are all together in one place in one accord. Amen. God wants his people united. And how many know that we can't form a unity committee, right? Unity is not possible except in the Spirit of God. That's why the nations are where they're at. Amen? A lack of God means a lack of unity, right? Unless, of course, they're under a different banner, which still is dysfunctional because they're always fighting among themselves who's going to be boss, right? Even the New World Order, well, that sounds like a great idea, but who's going to be in charge of it? Well, I want to be in charge of it. Well, I want to be in charge of it. And so, you know, that's man, right? The pride of man. But if we would humble ourselves, you know, and find that place together in the Lord, in the Spirit, the bond of peace is in the Spirit. Only the Lord can bring true unity. Not uniformity. We're all different, aren't we? But unity means that we're all together in one accord. Like, amen, that we're bound together in the bond of peace in the Holy Spirit. So if you're encapsulated in the Holy Spirit, then you're in a place of peace, amen, and harmony in your own spirit. And when you're at peace with God, then you can have peace with others. Mm-hmm. You know why a lot of people are not at peace with others? Because they don't have peace in their own heart. And how many heard the old saying, misery loves company? So there is hope for the spiritually barren. That's the name of the title of the message today, is hope for the spiritually barren. The spiritually barren. How many would agree with me that what America needs is an awakening? Amen. And God is going to get our attention one way or another. Because there are many still that feel they don't need God. Not yet. Not yet. But maybe one of these days. Well, God knows how to get you to that one of these days. To where you're going to know you need God. And how many know that it's a good thing to need God? Why? Because when you live independent of God, you're living independent of your Creator. And when you live independent of your Creator, you live dysfunctionally. So God wants us together in Him, to be united together in Him. And there He commands the blessing. And so when we're together and we're all in one accord, it's special. We've been having some wonderful prayer meetings this week. We're going to continue for the next several weeks, at least every night at 5 o'clock. We call it 5 at 5 each night, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. We're here. Hope you can join us. And each night is a little different. We're just being open to what Holy Spirit wants to do. And so we're in a place, guys, and I think we should all agree on this and understand this, that our government cannot save us. Not our government alone, right? And our military alone cannot save us. Our money alone cannot save us. Only God can save and keep America free and strong. Amen. If a person is not free internally, they're not going to know freedom externally either. And I believe the future of our nation depends on what the people of God are going to do at this time. I believe that God has given us the responsibility, amen, to be salt, to be light, to be influencers in society, amen, in this world. And because Christians are the ones who have the knowledge of God. People of the world do not know the ways of God, but we do. And therefore, we have to be an example to those around us. We're called to stand in the gap, to intercede on behalf of our nation. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. So, if we're not doing that, we're not obeying the Lord. If you're not interceding for your nation and for your leaders, you're not obeying the Lord. You know, we can't afford to trust in our own wisdom or our own ability, our own strength to overcome the enemies that we face. And I know there are some people that think if we can just change our policies. And I'm not opposed, and I think we need to change some policies, but the policies alone are not going to save us. It's going to require God. Amen. And God can move upon people and upon leaders to change their hearts, to conform to His will. And so we need to pray that God will convert their hearts, that He will humble the proud and exalt the humble. So the size of a nation's military is no guarantee of success against their enemies. In Psalms 20 and verse 7, he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And as a nation, we need to return to "In God We Trust." And you see this even throughout history, even more recent history, that there were great nations that had great militaries, strong militaries, that were not able to overcome weaker militaries. So it's not necessarily to the strong, amen? The race is not always to the swift, but it's according to the sovereign plan and will of God, and also the fact that God's people have stood in the gap on behalf of the nations, amen? And that God will have His way in the earth. Do you understand that God has given us the responsibility of taking this gospel into all the earth? Amen? He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a nation, and then the end shall come." So we have a responsibility before God and before man as ambassadors or representatives of Him in the earth. We are to be salt. We are to be light in our nation, in our circle of influence even. Amen? And He didn't say you are the sugar of the world, but He said you are the salt. And so many times throughout history, Israel was faced with overwhelming flood of opposition, you know. And time after time, as you remember, God came to the rescue. And often it was at a place where they were desperate. Sound familiar? Being in a place of desperation is not necessarily a bad place to be. Because when we're desperate, we cry out to God. And God comes and feeds us and fills us and satisfies us and sets things in order. If we didn't have a problem, we wouldn't know that God could solve it even. We learn of His faithfulness through the things that we experience in life. But many times we see this, and one example is in 2 Chronicles 20, where we've been sharing a lot in here, but it happened that after the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And what happened to Jehoshaphat in verse 3? Jehoshaphat feared. But what did he do? Set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I know we say this and we hear this, that prophecy is not to scare you but to prepare you. But sometimes it takes a scare before we're going to get prepared. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to what? Seek the Lord. So here, naturally speaking, there was no way that they were going to be able to defeat such a great army. So what could you do? Well, you got to turn to someone greater than you. You got to quit trusting in your natural ability and rely upon God's supernatural ability. And that also has to do with us individually, doesn't it? There's times in our lives when things are not under our control and there's nothing we can do about it except look to the Lord for answers. Amen. So in their desperation, the people and the leaders, right, came together to fast and pray, to seek the Lord for His help. And they thus prayed in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But," here it is, "our eyes are upon you." Amen. I love that. Lord, I don't understand everything, but my eyes are on you. In the natural, this appeared to be an impossible situation. But with God, of course, it's not impossible. So the Lord responded to the people through Jehaziel. In verse 17, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." Now, understand this, guys. There are times when you need to fight in the battle. We are wrestling, right, against principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness, high places. There are giants that are in your life that you need to deal with. But there are also situations, large-scale situations, even national situations, that require the sovereign intervention of God And when Israel humbled themselves and sought the Lord, amen, even with fasting and prayer, the Lord, amen, intervened supernaturally. Because they're in a place where they couldn't do it. There's no way to fix the problem except that God would intervene on their behalf. How many know America is there today? We need God to intervene. And we desperately need the Lord to intervene in this nation. Hallelujah. He says, position yourselves. That means get into the position as if you're going to fight the battle. Amen. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So they gathered together. In verse 21, when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Unusual tactic. And who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, here it is, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Supernatural intervention of God as the people called on the Lord as they sang praises to God. Amen. And even as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set the ambushes. And for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. So what's happening? The enemy's turning on itself. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. That's how God can do it. Amen. God can change things, guys. It's just we're in a place where we need to understand that all of our wisdom, all of our military strength or political prowess, whatever it might be, the things that people are looking to, men and women, amen, to somehow rescue us, to make America great again. How many know God is the only one that can save America and make America great? Amen. And God can raise up leaders, amen, that will be instrumental in that process. But we need to understand something. It begins with God always, not with man. And so God is waking up America. I believe he's getting our attention. And the question is, are we awake yet? Some are waking up. But the Lord, I believe, will continue to turn the heat up until people really understand that this is beyond what we can do apart from God. Now, we are to partner with God. We are to obey God. We are to submit to God. Amen. And we are to do the things that God tells us to do in the natural realm because there's a connection between the natural and the spiritual. Amen. But understand this. It's not going to be by our might or our strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that America, and I believe God can and that God wants to save America. I believe he can and that he wants to save America. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. Church, it's up to us. Because the people of the world do not have the knowledge of God. We do. We have the answer. Amen. Even for the world. Here's another example from history. Pharaoh, of course, you know, remember this one. The Egyptian army is pursuing him. No other way out. They were in a bind. And Exodus 14:10, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were, here again, very afraid. And what happened? And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Good idea. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here it is again, where it was a sovereign intervention from the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. For verse 14, here it is again, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Here is another example of an overwhelming situation. No way that they could, in their own ability, wisdom, or strength, overcome this army that's coming against them. There are no other options except that God would intervene. And what did they do? They feared and they began to cry out to God. and God in His mercy intervened. How many know that America needs mercy? We need mercy from God. And you know that the condition of America today is really the result of years of neglect, of compromise, even in the church, and apathy, even among God's people. But God can still save us, if my people. Ezekiel, here's ancient Israel. They found themselves in Babylonian captivity because of all the abominations that they committed before the Lord, all the sin and the secret sin, even that was taking place within the temple. And you know, the Lord has directed me to this many times recently, to this passage. You know, how many know that we're not exempt from all troubles that may result from the sins of others? And that's why what people do in secret can affect others. And that's why we need to have repentance, amen, in America. And it needs to be from the heart. And when God reveals, what He reveals isn't always beautiful or pleasant. But we must be aware of our true condition before we can be rescued from our condition. So God took Ezekiel in the spirit from with a lock of his hair, amen, between heaven and earth in the spirit realm. And He took him from Babylonian captivity and He brought him back to Jerusalem. And He began to reveal to him, this is why you're in captivity. Because the priesthood and the elders of the nation have become idolatrous. There's every kind of abominable thing going on, every kind of sin. And because of that, it brought the nation into captivity. Do we see a parallel today? How many know that God is exposing what's happening even in the church? Mm-hmm. So it's not always beautiful or pleasant, but we must first become aware of what's going on so we know how to pray. So the Lord carried Ezekiel from Babylon to Jerusalem in these visions. In verse 7, and He brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. And then He said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And He said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and I saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. God sees it all. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. How many know they weren't offering the incense of the Lord, but a strange incense to other gods? Then He said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols? For they say, the Lord does not see us. How many know God sees everything, even what's going on underneath the earth? He sees it all. And the Lord, they said, has forsaken the land. You see, when people believe the lie of the devil that it's hopeless, they cast off restraints. They say, well, it's too far gone. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. This is the evil thought. Amen. And God wants to save, God wants to heal, God wants to restore, but we have to wake up and realize that in order for that to happen, we as God's people need to make sure that we're right with Him first. And I believe when the church gets right, the influence is there again in society. Why? Because Jesus said, you are the salt. You are the light of the world. Uh-huh. So what people do in secret is never hidden from God. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. Yeah, whether good or evil. Today, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The temple of God. And so judgment must first begin with us, with the house of God. And God is bringing the hidden things to light. Mm-hmm. I want to have such a life of integrity before the Lord, amen, that if people were to know what's going on completely, even in my secret thought life, amen, it would be okay. I heard somebody say, I wasn't there, I can't validate for this, but a guy said he went to heaven, okay? He died and gone to heaven. And he said, your thoughts in heaven are like audible words. And of course, we know God sees it, knows it all. And so secret sin needs to be dealt with, because secret sin can have open consequences. And what I do in secret can influence others adversely, whether good or bad. Amen? Jesus said, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. And that's what God is doing now. God is dealing with His church. God is taking the lid off. Amen? God is exposing all the things that have been going on behind closed doors and is becoming known. Amen? Why? Because God wants to bring His people back. He wants to restore. He wants to forgive and heal and restore His people. Amen? How many know that the Holy Spirit always convicts us, amen, with a redemptive purpose? It's not just to make you miserable, amen, or just for the shame factor, because shame is something that is necessary to bring us to repentance. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Remember saying that when you're hearing your parents say that to you, maybe? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, we don't want to talk about shame anymore, but shame sometimes is that catalyst that's going to bring us to repentance and understand that, you know what, I should be ashamed of myself. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to change my way. Amen. I'm going to get back with God. I'm going to get right with God. I remember you, sister, sharing your testimony when that one church that you were a part of, and the Lord, the pastor would say, I know you've been sinning this week. You need to go down to the altar. When you go down to the altar and get it right automatically. He didn't ask whether you sinned or not. He says, you need to go down there and get it right. Amen. So, but because we are responsible before God to be His ambassadors, His representatives, His example, we have to live lives that are pure, that are integrous. Amen. And if you will guard your heart, amen, and guard your integrity, amen, God will take care of you. You guard your character, He'll guard you, amen? And I don't want any secrets, because there aren't any anyways. Ever catch your kid doing something they shouldn't be doing? Of course, right? And they had that look on their face. All right, what did you do? What have you been into? You got chocolate all over your face. You know, you've been in the cookie jar. Well, it's all written all over you, amen. So why don't you just make it right? I mean, let's just repent of your sin and get it right, amen. And we can move on, all right, and have restored peace here. But I want you to learn from your mistake. The next time you want a cookie, learn how to ask for it, all right? All right. It's called learning how to submit to authority. And we need to be teaching our children even through simple examples like that, so they become adults that know how to submit to authority. Amen. Godly authority, that is. Good authority. So if you're engaging in secret sin, the bottom line is you've got to repent of it right away, because God will have mercy on those who repent and those who turn to Him for grace. In 1 Peter 4:17, here it is, for the time has come, judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? America needs a spiritual awakening. And I believe there are pockets of revival that are happening around the nation. There are places where people are in revival. Amen. But we need a sovereign move of God from coast to coast. We need to pray and seek God, amen, to wake up His people, His church across America. And I believe the things that are happening, the things that are being exposed right now are necessary, amen, for people to realize what's going on and to also understand that that could be me if I don't repent. Mm-hmm. How many know that God can bring dead bones to life again? How many know that God wants to bring America back to life again? How many know that God can save nations? What we need is for God to breathe new life into us again. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, Valley of Dry Bones, how many love this? There's a lot we can learn from this, but this is what really offers us great hope. Because if we look around today in our nation, for the most part, we're seeing a lot of dead bones. The dryness, amen, a lot of lukewarmness, a lot of dysfunction, as you see it everywhere. We're saying, God, this is such an insurmountable, such a huge problem. The other night, you know, someone had asked the question, well, what do we do about it? Because it just seems like it's so impossible. Amen? And humanly speaking, it is. It is impossible, humanly speaking. But someone came up with a really brilliant answer, which I believe is a God answer. One heart at a time. Each one, reach one. You be salt. You be light. You be an influence where you live and where you work and where you operate. Amen? And that's how it's going to be done. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're looking for the big thing, and God will move sovereignly, pour out His Spirit. But it's going to take someone that's going to stand in the gap for that to happen, first of all, to pray, and someone also to be a spokesman. Amen? Someone that God can speak through. Amen? And speak to others through. And as we are in position, setting ourselves in position to be utilized of God, if we're willing to obey the voice of God, we will see hearts change. We will see people get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. God wants to do it, and He wants to do it through you, and He wants to do it through me. And so we need to be obedient and understand we're in a desperate situation right now. We're at a crossroads in this nation. And it's time for the church to rise, amen, and shine. Because we have the knowledge of God. And because our light, who is Christ, amen, has come. It's because the glory of the Lord is risen upon the church, amen. That we need to be salt. We need to be light. We need to be influencers in this nation. It begins with me. Amen. It begins with you as individuals. Amen. As part of something much bigger than ourselves. It's called the body of Christ. Amen. That which is the expression of God on the earth. If each one reaches one, each one does what God shows them to do. Amen. We will accomplish the mission of God. Hallelujah. But I have to make sure I'm first of all in right standing with God. It begins with me. So God brought Ezekiel out in the Spirit in Ezekiel 37:1, and He set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And then He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many bones in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. So you get the picture. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? He didn't say, oh, of course they can. He said, oh, Lord, you know. Because from a human standpoint, it was impossible. They're dead. And there was many. So you can imagine the feeling of hopelessness. Have you ever dealt with the feeling of hopelessness? How many have struggled lately with this feeling of hopelessness that sometimes wants to get on you? Because when you look around at our nation, the things that are happening, it seems like, oh my, it's just so impossible. But yet, guys, we need to remember our God and who He is and that He's able. Just like Israel of old, so many times they were in these impossible situations, but they feared and they called on the Lord. And out of their desperation, they cried out. And God in His mercy intervened sovereignly and wrought these great miracles as He drowned Pharaoh and his armies. Amen. Just one move of the hand of God. Hallelujah. They were swallowed up in the sea. God can do it. They were up against the sea. They're probably wondering, well, what are we going to do? You know, build some pontoon boats here and try to go across? Well, we don't have time. The army's on our butt. Amen. And so they got desperate. They feared and they called out to the Lord. And the Lord in His mercy delivered them, even through an impossible situation. Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. I believe it's not impossible for America. Can America live again? Absolutely. Why? I believe because God still has many people in this land. God has many faithful even in this land. Are we that faithful? Are we that remnant? Are we those that understand the desperate time we're in and the need for God's intervention? And are we willing to commit ourselves to pray and to be that light, amen, to those around us? You see, you can't be a light until you get lit. Amen? You got to get lit up. You need to be on fire for God. We need to be on fire for God. Amen? That's why we're praying. That's why we're crying out to God. Lord, revive us again. Lord, awaken us again. Lord, breathe upon these dry, dead bones and resurrect us, Lord God. Bring us back to life and to effectiveness again. Hallelujah. God can do it. And we're believing. I'm not throwing in the towel like some are. Oh, it's just too bad. Nothing's too bad. Amen? Now, God's going to punish us. Obviously, He will get His people's attention. Amen? But whenever God punished Israel, He always had a promise on the other side of it. Amen? He first punished them, and He humbled them. Amen? But He wanted to bring them into something better. He's always redemptive, amen, in what He does. The same thing is true if we were to discipline our children. We would do it out of love for our children, knowing that there's going to be short-term pain, hopefully for long-term gain, amen. At the moment, it's not going to seem pleasant to them, but if you do what's right, amen, concerning your child, that child will grow up to be a healthy, productive, amen, an adult. What America needs is the true Word of God. We need to get back to the true gospel, the true Word of God being preached, being taught, being witnessed by God's people, not only in word but in action. Amen? And this can only be done by Spirit-filled, anointed believers. We need the power of God to be that salt, to be that light. Isn't that what Jesus told His disciples? He says, don't run out right away. He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. When you receive this baptism, then I want you to step out in faith. Come on. Some of us are just, we're overflowing, but we're not doing anything with it. Amen. When God fills you, amen, He fills you for a purpose. Not just so we can speak in tongues and have goosebumps, amen? He fills us, amen, so that we can be an ambassador, a representative of Him, and operate in the power of God. Because the world needs to see the witness of the resurrected Jesus, amen, in God's people. We are to bear witness to the resurrection. Hallelujah. So what God wants is for us to agree with Him. And to do what He does and to speak what He's speaking. Look at what He said in verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And of course, that word breath means wind or spirit. He's saying prophesy to the spirit. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. As He did what? As He spoke what God was telling Him to speak, there was a noise, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. What God wants to do is bring us together in unity. Amen? And the Word of God and the Spirit working together bring a people into harmony with Him and with one another. That's why in some churches they're constantly having fights and infighting. And because if you're not spiritually minded, that's going to be the automatic result. That's why we always emphasize the importance of staying filled, keeping your tank topped off and overflowing, because it's the peace of God, amen, that rules in us, amen, that will also influence the way that we are towards others. So he did what? He obeyed. And he prophesied as I was commanded, verse 7. As I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. How many know that obedience was necessary for Ezekiel to see revival come? Even in a situation that seemed bleak and hopeless, God intervened because someone was willing to partner with God to accomplish His purposes in the earth. That's why we pray, as in heaven, so on the earth. So we are to call also the dry bones to life. And that is, we lead people to Him who is life. And that is Jesus. Come, O breath. This speaks of prayer, insistent prayer for God's breath to blow upon lost or backslidden humanity. Amen. Ministry to dry bones. How many believe we've been called to a ministry to dry bones? Petitioning the Lord for His breath to first blow upon our dryness. I know it's easy for us to look around and see others, but do we take a look at ourselves and realize, where do I stand? How is it with me, really? Amen. I can't be a blessing unless God blesses me first. Amen. And I won't come to God for His help until I realize I need help. In verse 10, I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. And this army, of course, was referred to as the whole house of Israel, which is a type of the church today. We see that in Galatians 6 and verse 16. In verse 11, then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Isn't that not happening today? National Israel is being gathered back into the land. But also, we see in the Spirit, amen, the church, amen, of Jesus Christ, of Jew and Gentile, coming together in one new man, which is Christ. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And God is gathering His elect. He's gathering His people. He's bringing His people back together. Amen. And He's going to breathe upon His church. I believe it. Amen. And He is breathing upon us right now. Amen. God's going to get His church's attention one way or another. I would rather just say yes, Lord, than have to go the hard way. Amen. So it doesn't matter where you are today. If you feel like you're in a place of dryness, know that God is able to resuscitate you. God is able to breathe new life into you. God is able to give you living water, amen, and to refresh your soul and to renew your mind, hallelujah. Yes, He wants to do that. He wants to revive His people. But you know, guys, we have to be obedient. We got to get into position, and we need to cry out to God, amen. And then we need to obey His voice, and we need to speak the word of the Lord. What the Lord says, He will back up. Amen. He will confirm His word with accompanying signs. And so we cry out to dry bones and we say, come alive. Live again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I will put my spirit in you, verse 14, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't let us not become weary in well-doing. Come on. Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Amen. The Lord said He would open the door. Hallelujah. Somebody had a vision the other night of this iron dome that seemed to be placed over this place, even that the enemy had put there. And as we were praying, it was like this all was chewing away at the metal. Amen. The curls of metal were coming off this iron dome. And it was like God is saying, keep on praying because it's making a difference. Amen. And as we keep on praying, hallelujah, eventually there's going to be a breakthrough. Amen. And there's going to be such a glory that's going to come as a result of the faithfulness of those who are willing to stand in the gap and not give up. Amen. But wait on the Lord and His timing. And in His appointed time, His appointed season, you shall reap if you do not faint. Amen. It's time for us to understand that it's you and I together, amen, that need to call on the Lord, to seek the Lord, amen, that we can have, amen, the glory of God coming down in such a way that people are going to be walking down the street and they're going to be arrested by the Holy Spirit. The conviction of God will overtake them, amen, and they'll cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? God wants to release that kind of glory, amen. You and I can operate in our anointing as we receive an anointing, but God wants to release the glory, I believe, even in the Northwest and in America, and it was going to require someone who's willing to stand in the gap, and God wants His people to gather and to pray and to seek His face and to turn from our wicked ways. And then He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Amen? And obey God's promptings to speak. Amen? Whatever He's telling you to speak. Hallelujah. We just need to be faithful because God is faithful. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said this. I'm closing with this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wrestling requires stamina, strength. It's not like you're boxing, but wrestling. And so we have to be able to endure the match, if you will. All right, to overcome the enemy. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to stand, amen, and to contend for revival, amen, for our land, to petition Him and not give up, to never quit, amen. How many know it's not okay for America to continue down this path? And that requires every one of us to be involved, amen. We need to seek the Lord right now. Because even as Israel found themselves in an impossible place, God wants to turn this around, and He can, and He will, if my people. Are we willing? We're going to have to get a hold of this flesh that says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Right? You have to overcome that part of you that would rebel against what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. That's called obedience. And God will give His grace to the humble. God will pour out His Spirit on the ones that are willing to humble themselves and pray. Hallelujah. You know, we're not in this for ourselves. Amen. We're praying for others. We're praying for our nation. We're praying for the lost. We're praying for the backslider. Amen. The wayward sons and daughters to come home. We're not in it for ourselves. But even still, as we are in this for others, God blesses and takes care of us in the midst of it. Right? So we're enjoying the presence of the Lord. I want you to come out. I want you to consider. Amen. If you can't make it here, pray with us at home. Take one of those the prayer agendas. Okay, we've got some out there. I got some up front. And join us at 5 o'clock. Amen. If you can. If not, if it's a later time, do it. At least join with us and let's pray for America. Let's pray for the church. Amen. In America, that God will revive her and bring her back to life. I believe that God has good in store for those who wait. Amen? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants us to soar on wings as eagles. Amen? As eagles. Thank you for coming today and being a part. If you need prayer for anything, we want to invite you to come down. We'll believe God for you. And we're going to enjoy a meal together. If you didn't bring anything, it's okay. Come and join us. Be our guest. We're going to have a potluck here in just a few minutes. And so I want to pray in closing here. We also want to pray a blessing over the food. Okay. So since you guys are so easily accessible, and I'll always pick on you if you pray for us. Thank you. Hallelujah.
I feel pretty picked on.
In a good way.
Good desperation. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this time Thank you for this word. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your spirit. Lord, may us be obedient to that call, Lord, that has come forth from this podium today. Lord, may we obey your voice. May we obey your spirit. May we come together in unity in one purpose, and that is to see your glory be manifest in this place, in this town, in this county, in this country, we pray. And we thank you for it. We thank you with all our hearts, Lord. Now, Lord, bless this meal that we are to eat down below. Lord, make all the calories go away. Bring forth the health and the vitamins that need to go into our bodies, and we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.